You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO 90.7 FM, listener-supported community radio. You just heard Bill Resnick and Reggie Williams talking about the U.S. healthcare system, followed by music from Hal Singer, Malcolm X, from his album Paris Soul Food. Next on the Old Mole, a tribute to Glenn Ford, executive director of Black Agenda Report, who died at the age of 71 on July 28th, just this last month, 2021. Glenn Ford was a real go-to for myself and for many of the moles, was an amazing voice for Black liberation and for liberation of all people. There's been much written about Glenn Ford and his important work as a journalist and activist. Many, many resources to mine about the life and contributions of Glenn Ford. From his daughter, Nia Ford, wrote a piece for Black Agenda Report called Power to the People. We'll link to this piece on our Mole page, but I offer you this tidbit from Nia about her father. Quote, "As I mentioned, my father had hope. His hope was reflected in his never-ending push for the liberation of Black people. That hope was demonstrated as he mentored both peers and the next generation alike. He had something to say, and he wanted you to hear it. Sometimes he said what others wouldn't say. Sometimes he said what others didn't want to hear. He was bold, he was brave, and he created and left us an amazing body of work to teach the next generation. He did his part. Now it's time for you to take the baton." That was Nia Ford from her piece on Black Agenda Report, Power to the People. Again, we'll link to that on our Mole page. We'll turn now to the archive. Glenn Ford appeared on the Old Mole just one time, but also was on KBOO many, many times, including Hard Knock Radio and other public affairs programming. Lori Mercier talked with Glenn Ford on the Old Mole back in February 2019 as the Trump administration entered its final year. They discussed an electoral strategy for the left. What's a socialist to do? Lori?
Thanks, Denise. It's a great honor to have with us Glenn Ford, who is a dean of Black journalism, having worked as reporter, producer, and creator of forums for Black voices since the 1970s in print, radio, television, and the internet. He co-founded Black Commentator in 2002, which quickly became the most influential Black political site on the internet. And in October 2006, Ford and others left Black Commentator to launch BlackAgendaReport.com, where he is the executive editor and provides news, commentary, and analysis from the Black left. The Black Agenda Report is one of our favorite websites on the Old Mole Variety Hour, so we're really happy to have you here. Glenn Ford, welcome to KBOO.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
You have a recent piece in Black Agenda Report that claims that Bernie Sanders is trying to steal the rich man's party. What do the ruling class find so frightening about Sanders' run?
Well, the consensus among the ruling class, and it's a hard and fast consensus, is for austerity and war. Endless austerity and endless war. What Bernie Sanders is doing is pushing for supermajority proposals. That is, there is a consensus among the American electorate around Medicare for All, which commands the allegiance of about 85% of the Democratic Party and even majorities of the Republican Party, and for free higher education, and now this Green New Deal proposal, which also commands supermajority support and about half of the Republican Party. So here we have a ruling class whose primary party, by the way, now is the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party. The Democratic Party is the party that expresses the consensus of the ruling class. And so we have a Democratic Party controlled by a ruling class that is demanding, imposing forever austerity and war, and a populace that is squarely on the side of the proposals that are personified by Bernie Sanders. So they are on a collision course.
So you, many of your pieces emphasize that Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez and others who are left-leaning within the Democratic Party are not real socialists, but really more like social democrats on the European model, and identify themselves with policies that are more akin to the New Deal Democrats, or you might say Great Society Democrats. Democratic political party has not really embraced for many decades. But why would these fairly mild proposals for Medicare for all, free higher education, why would those be so threatening?
Because the ruling class consensus is for endless austerity. And it's the same in Europe, which is causing the social breakdowns, the deterioration of relations between the people and the state in Europe. Europe's ruling class also is for endless austerity and for acceptance of the U.S.'s endless wars. So that's why they are at loggerheads. You know, Medicare for all would actually be a beneficial in the short term, in the immediate term, a beneficial program for all businesses that employ lots of people, because it decreases the cost of labor to the company. But almost all business groupings oppose it, and they oppose it because they are for austerity, and Medicare for all is seen as a kind of Pandora's box. Once you allow that kind of entitlement to be enacted, then you're opening up the floodgates to all the other entitlements that would follow. And so they oppose Medicare for all, as well as the rest of the agenda. So that's their hard and fast position. It is the ruling class consensus, and they're not going to brook any compromise with it.
But you also note that supporting these proposals would undoubtedly unleash pressures to dramatically shrink the war budget. But is that part of this new social democratic movement to dramatically decrease the war budget?
No, and we can see it in practice in the way the Democrats caved, not only accepting the biggest war budget in history, but accepting a war budget that was bigger than what Trump asked for the last time around. It's the great contradiction in what passes for a left in the United States, that they are pro-imperialist. In real socialist terms, we call these folks social imperialists. They want something like social democracy for their own populations while waging predatory wars on working class people and around the world. They have no solidarity in their socialism.
And certainly that's represented by the lack of action or speaking out against the intervention in Venezuela and the planned coup in Venezuela.
Oh, of course. Bernie Sanders described the late Hugo Chavez as a dead communist dictator. Venezuela has had more free and fair elections not only than the United States, but more in the 21st century than any country in the world. It is probably, demonstrably, the most bourgeois democratic government in the world, having put its constitutional revisions and countless elections to the popular test and passed that test over and over again. But Bernie Sanders joins the corporate media chorus, the whole bourgeois Mormon tabernacle choir of lies about Venezuela.
However, I mean, to Sanders' credit, he did speak out against intervention, didn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe this is all one can hope for in the American political scene, out against intervention even while condemning the so-called dictator.
That's right. He's less of an aggressive imperialist. His latest statement on Venezuela warns against the more muscular kind of U.S. imperialism, while at the same time lying about Venezuela and essentially giving a justification for some kind of move against Venezuela. We used to call that wishy-washy, but when literally millions of Venezuelan lives and Latin American lives is at stake, wishy-washy is far too weak a word for these social imperialists of the so-called left.
Well, what are ways that the Democratic Party are attempting to sabotage Sanders' campaign, especially with any number of candidates who have announced their run for the presidency?
Well, first, it's the rush of early candidacies that we saw. It was as if the Democratic Party and its corporate media backers were in a panic to show that Sanders is irrelevant, that he's left the train. Look, we've already got a full-blown cast of characters. We've got two black senators out there. And so it was very, very clear that the early major project of the Democrats was to preempt Sanders. And that meant actually not mentioning him, if at all possible, in the corporate media. It was as if Sanders wasn't in the room when he, in fact, was the 5-ton gorilla in the room, the specter that they were all terrified of.
Well, clearly the Democratic establishment sees the African-American vote as key to propelling particular candidates forward. And you've been particularly critical, I think, of Kamala Harris. What are her flaws?
Actually, from the beginnings of the Black Commentator and throughout the history of Black Agenda Report, we've been most critical of Cory Booker. Cory Booker is almost a laughable prospect in if he's to be characterized as some kind of progressive Democrat. He comes from the most reactionary circles of the Democratic Party. Back at the turn of the 21st century, Cory Booker was running two private schools in Newark. He was an advocate of private school vouchers. He was an early founder of these front organizations for hard right corporatist Betsy DeVos forces out there who were defending segregation academies. This is before charter schools became the favorite of the school privatizers. And Cory Booker was deeply allied with them. They're the folks who provided the millions of dollars that gave him national prominence in his first and second runs for mayor of Newark, New Jersey. That's what made him one of the great black hopes and a potential of having been of becoming the first Obama. But Kamala Harris is the front runner in terms of being the black candidate to derail Bernie Sanders, not Cory Booker. And that's why we've paid more attention to her early campaign.
But historically, there is this black tradition of skepticism of power, and you've written about how black Americans, for the most part, are in huge majorities against U.S. imperial adventures. They're more wise to the kind of corporate takeover of the U.S. So why would most African Americans in the country be persuaded by some of these faux progressive candidates?
Because the duopoly system is a trap that in the end compels black Democrats to vote against their own very left-wing political inclinations. The two-party system is, in fact, a one-party system for black people because one of the parties is always the white man's party, a party that is white supremacist and for which white supremacy is the main organizing principle, and that is the Democratic Party. The Republican Party. So therefore, there is only, in terms of the duopoly, the Democratic Party. And black folks first priority is to defeat the white man's party. And so in Democratic primaries, and this is the great irony and symptomatic of the trap, black Democrats vote for the candidate that they believe is best suited to defeat the white man's party. And that usually means the best financed and funded candidate, which turns out to be the corporate candidate. So even though black folks, by all measures and for generations, have clearly been the most left-wing and the most anti-war and pro-peace constituency in the United States, they tend in these primaries to vote for the corporate candidate.
And one can understand that need for belief in self-preservation as sort of necessary actions. But Glenn Ford, in the remaining minutes that we have, what's a socialist to do given the duopoly and the electoral process such as it is in this country? What do you find as hopeful signs or models for organizing?
Well, I think that this election has great promise. I want to make it very clear that nobody at Black Agenda Report is a Democrat, and all of us are anti-imperialists, and all of us are socialists, and there is zero possibility that we would wind up endorsing a Democrat. But our job is to provide analysis.
Yes.
And our analysis is that this election could be very, very productive for the left. I personally believe that there is no way in hell that the main party now of the ruling class, the Democrats, are going to allow their consensus on endless austerity and war to be busted by Bernie Sanders. And they are going to undermine and sabotage his campaign in ways that are so blatant, so public, so undemocratic, that millions of people who thought that the only way to move is to be a Democrat will be so damn disgusted that we'll see a radicalization of unprecedented numbers of people, providing the human capital that can make a real struggle for peace and socialism possible.
Glenn Ford, thank you so much for joining us today. And we want to remind listeners to check out the Black Agenda Report, fantastic website full of news, commentary, and analysis, such as you've heard today from Glenn Ford. Thanks again.
Thanks for inviting me.
All aboard for Night Train.
Glenn Ford, Executive Editor, BlackAgendaReport.com. Well, the crisis stems from the contradictions between two main currents in black politics. One sometimes is called the assimilationist current, and that is that the struggle is about equality and nothing else, citizenship rights and nothing else. To become Americans, and that's it. And once we have achieved this Americanness, then the movement is over. The other current is, I call, the self-determinationist current, which recognizes African Americans as a distinct people, having become a distinct people here in this country, who have the right to choose their own political path. to express, to try to build a world as they see it, based upon a world view that they are entitled to because of their peoplehood, which they achieved in this country. And often, certainly all the way through the 60s, these two currents ran parallel to each other in the same direction. However, once we achieved legal status as full Americans, the contradictions between the two currents, the one that would just like to assimilate and measured its progress by how American-like we were, and the other, which wanted to express our view of the world, to shape the world as we thought it should be shaped. That's that of course is done politically. There was a divergence there. These contradictions have come to the inevitable head with the election of Barack Obama. It certainly is a profound change in terms of that current that seeks to be totally integrated into this American project. It does not challenge that American project, a project that began with genocide and enslavement and continues as imperialism. For those who simply wanted to integrate into this American project, to, as Martin Luther King once said to Harry Belafonte, run into a burning house, this is the epiphany. This is the end of things. This is the reason to call a halt to the movement. But for those of us whose project is not one, is not a continuation of this American project from genocide and slavery and now to imperialism, certainly that was no signal for us to end our struggle.
That was James Brown, Night Train. I can't repeat here what Glenn Ford once said about James Brown, but tune in to Black Power Media and listen to Jared Ball's commemoration, Glenn Ford, the James Brown of Black Radical Media. We will link to it on the Old Mole post for today's show at kboo.fm Old Mole Variety Hour.